Welcome to Manager Tools. No panel interviews. Here we go. Today's podcast answers these questions. Should I use panel interviewing on candidates? Do panel interviews work? Do candidates like panel interviews? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager.
Okay, Mark, this has got to be one of the biggest mistakes that interviewers make when interviewing, right? Using a panel interview.
Yeah, it's bad. In fact, I think we still start the cast every week with some questions that the podcast answers. If you high Ds want to save some time, the answer to those questions are no, no, and no.
It's funny, when I was reading them, I was very well tempted to say no.
No.
Yeah, no. No.
But here's the thing. We normally wouldn't do a cast about what not to do. We'll talk about what to do as well. But the reason we're doing this one is because this technique is so wrong and so prevalent.
It's a virus. It's a scourge. We have to eradicate it.
Yeah. We have to. You know, having 3 to 4 to 5 interviewers all interviewing one candidate simultaneously is a pretty common technique, but it's a bad idea. And we have 4 points in our outline. First point is, we're going to talk about what to do and essentially prove that that's why not number one. Reason why not number two is, you actually lose multiple effective perspectives if you have more people interviewing one person at the same time. You don't get more perspective, you actually get less. Reason why not number three, there's data, guys, and there's a negative correlation to effectiveness. They don't predict effectiveness or good hires well at all. And reason why not number four is, candidates hate them.
All right. So first of all, tell me what to do, what that is, yeah, and then why that's the number one in our why not column.
Yeah. So you've got to understand a little bit about the psychology of interviewing, about why interviewing works, in order to understand why panels don't. But the way to conduct all interviews, folks, is one interviewer interviewing one candidate at a time. And the reason for that is, the primary engine for great interviewers is, the result of each interview conducted is a hiring decision. Either in an interview, the interviewer decides to recommend hiring or not. Your recommendation to the hiring manager is the equivalent of, I would hire this person, period. It's not, hey, I liked him, or I kind of didn't like him. You're not doing research to learn about a person. You're deciding. And most of you would say, well, that's not how it happens, and we'll come back to that. But you're not just having a chat. You're not just exploring like you would walk through a bookstore and pick up a book and look at it for a minute. You are going to open a book, read it, and then decide whether or not to recommend it to your friend who has limited time in order to read it. You're not contributing to somebody else's decision.
Oh, yeah, and you're recommending that the person read it for the next 15 years. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, well, that whole thing is. Yeah, and I think I talked to a fairly inexperienced professional recently. They said, well, you know, people come and people go. This is at a client. We were talking about management, and interviewing came up. And I said, well, you're not a manager yet, right? I said, no. I said, well, you call me back. You email me after you've made a bad hire and you have to go through the pain and suffering of getting rid of them. So again, you're not helping somebody else to decide by giving them raw material that they put into their own decision engine, and then they come out with an answer that you may or may not agree with. You're deciding yourself whether or not you would hire them. And guys, from a standpoint of organizational theory, organizational behavior principles, the burden we have with that recommendation, that responsibility, is huge. I would argue, in terms of organizational sustainment, you know, sustainment is a big concept these days, sustainable living, sustainable organizations, sustainable futures, that hiring decision is probably the third most important thing a manager does, assuming you're a manager and you're interviewing for yourself or potentially for your boss, because you're deciding who will be the future employees of the organization. You make good hiring decision, you're going to build good organizations. You make bad hiring decision, you're going to destroy your organization. Simple as that. And perhaps for those of you who are uninitiated, if you're wondering what number one and number two are as a manager, hopefully you know. But if you don't, if you're just joining us, number one is delivering results, and number two is retaining your existing employees. Those are your two fundamental responsibilities as a manager. Now, those are your obligations, your responsibilities to the organization for your role. But as part of the leadership of the organization, the primary thing you do is the hiring of good people, improving the quality of hiring, which ultimately sustains the organization. And this is what it boils down to, Mike. The vast majority of corporate interviews are both ineffective and inefficient because the interviewer lacks the responsibility to make a decision. They actually believe it's not their responsibility. They not only don't have the responsibility, they also don't have the training or the knowledge to conduct an effective interview. Essentially, it's for most of us, we don't know why we're doing this. We don't know the purpose of the interview. Or put differently, we think we do. We're just wrong. We think we're just there to gather data. And then we don't know how to gather the data or to gather enough data for ourselves in order to make a decision.
I think of this a little bit. I remember psychology way back when. And I think it was called, there's an effect called the bystander effect. And it's a psychological phenomenon around multiple bystanders around some event, right? And the more bystanders there were, the less likely there was somebody who was going to take action. And then I think there were a number of factors involved, ambiguity, diffusion of responsibility, I think were a couple of them. And this is, you know, a panel interview is very, very similar, right? There's some ambiguity as who's responsible for making the decision. There's this diffusion of responsibility. And as a result, people don't take action. And in this case, folks who've been following us around interviewing, the purpose of an interview is to say no, right? And so it's too easy for everybody to just go along and say yes, or not even say yes, just allow it to happen. So the interviewing bystander effect, that's what I'm
calling it. Yeah, the bystander effect may be the best way to describe it. I'm glad you said it because I'm sitting in the panel and I'm somebody else is responsible. And so I'm sitting in and I'm adding a bit here or there, but I don't have any skin in the game. And I'm certainly much more likely in a panel interview to say, I'm only contributing. I'm not making the decision. I don't hear anybody. You're welcome to write me and tell me differently at mahorstman@manager-tools.com. But I don't know anybody who says at the end of the panel, there's a vote. And the vote has to be a majority or a supermajority or something like that or unanimous. And just the idea that it could be a majority is just absolutely ludicrous. And that discussion that people have after interviews where we talk about the candidate is, again, violates that first principle that I have a responsibility in the interview to glean enough information to make a decision. And the moment you start thinking that way, guys, the moment you say, I got to decide, you start becoming a better interviewer because you think, I don't have time to let this candidate go down rabbit trails. I don't have time to ask dumb questions. I better find out what questions really do separate the wheat from the chaff here.
Right. It's hard enough in 45 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes to get enough information to make a decision, let alone do it while there's, you know, two or three other people in the room asking stupid questions.
Yeah. So look, I alluded to this before, and many of you are saying, God, this is weird. You'd say, well, okay, Mark and Mike, but that's just not the way it works in my firm. Several of us interview a candidate, individually or in groups, and we tell our boss or whomever the hiring manager is what we think, and she makes the decision. And again, this is one of the reasons why interviewing is so hard for candidates. It's one of the reasons why, along with the Horstman Christmas rule and so many other things, that interviewing doesn't get better unless you really focus on it. It's a common mistake for the hiring manager to not set clearly enough the responsibility of a hiring decision with each interviewer. Okay. And by the way, if you have individual contributors who are interviewing a candidate, you still want them having responsibility because that will prepare them for when they actually have the responsibility. I don't think that sitting around chatting with someone and learning lazy habits of just talking to someone without the burden of saying, you're going to have to say yes or no and why, I don't think that helps you become a good decision maker when you're actually a manager and you have to hire. I actually think it leads to bad habits.
Yeah, the way you learn is you do something. In this case, you make a decision, you give your justification, your rationale for that decision, and then somebody with more experience gives you some feedback about, okay, let's talk about your decision, why it's good or why it's bad and how I saw it.
Everybody said no but you, new person. Here's why you're wrong. Okay, fine. It doesn't work that way in your company. That doesn't mean you as an interviewer can't take the effective approach and interview as if you had to hire this person yourself in the next hour. By the way, most of you would then say, I'd like an hour and a half, please. Very few managers would say, well, if that's my responsibility, now we're talking about panels and why panels are bad. We just created, hopefully, a mental construct that says, I've got to be able to talk to them individually if someone is going to hold me accountable for a decision, as opposed to just chat raw material at the end of my discussion of the person. But very few managers would say, if that's my responsibility, if I have to make a decision, I want to seed 50 to 60 to 70% of the data I'm going to gather and the questions I get to ask and the time I get to spend with the candidate to a bunch of other people's questions, especially other people who I'm pretty sure don't know what they're doing and won't feel the same sense of responsibility that I do. There's no way. If you posit the idea that you have the responsibility at the end of the interview, and I would encourage someone to argue against that as a fundamental premise, then no one who's intelligent is going to say, well, a panel is better because I don't get to ask enough questions and I don't like a lot of the questions other people ask. And I don't like the fact that the moderator or the head panelist lets the person go on talking or that one person who's an idiot keeps asking wrong questions and then interrupting the candidate and irritating a candidate. And for all we know, the candidate's good. We don't know yet. If we knew, we'd have made a decision already. If you have to make the hiring decision, and guys, don't kid yourself, you do. You oughtn't be sharing the limited time of an interview you have with other people who don't care as much as you do. So, you know, if you're a halfway decent interviewer, you don't want to listen to a bunch of dumb questions or allow a candidate to ramble. I mean, you're not going to get any better as an interviewer either, listening to worse questions than you yourself could ask. You might as well play tennis with somebody who's not as good as you and hope you improve your game that way. Right? The whole point of tennis ladders, for those of you who play tennis, is you get to play the person better than you. And if you're better, you go up and you keep going up, and that makes you better. So the first reason you don't do a panel interview is it diffuses responsibility, and that responsibility for the hiring decision is the single biggest engine of great interviews. Not the only one, but the single biggest one. And that means individual interviews. And by the way, as we'll talk about later, individual interviews are much preferred by candidates. And if you like somebody, you want to not piss them off during the process. So when you make them an offer, you'll have a chance of them saying yes.
I think it's really funny because I think one of the pushbacks we're going to get from folks is, you know, say a manager has some of her directs involved in an interview, and it's a panel interview. And she tells us, well, look, I want to do a panel interview because I want to get multiple perspectives of this person. So I'm going to do a panel interview because I'm going to get multiple perspectives. And that is not what comes out of a panel interview.
Now, look, in theory, they're right. Why wouldn't I want seven people or four people to listen to each answer? Now, the problem with that, there's all kinds of problems, and we're going to talk about the primary one. But a secondary problem of that is 99.99% of the managers who have some of their folks doing a panel interview have not given specific guidance on what they're looking for, on what the strengths are they're looking for, on weaknesses that would really bother them, on things they're particularly going to dig into in the person's background. So therefore, the hiring manager doesn't know the questions that are being asked in the panel. And then a bunch of different people are essentially asking kind of whatever they want. For all we know, they're in no way related to the job.
Dude, this is just basic probability and statistics. If I have enough people on the panel interview asking enough questions, I mean, somebody's randomly going to ask the right question.
Yeah. If only we had time for randomness in our lives. If only. Right? Yeah. But like I said, panel interviews actually decrease perspective. Okay. And here's why. Well, they decrease the effective perspective, perspective that's valuable, perspective that will help you make a good decision. Okay. First, in a panel interview, I have to make a decision. If you and I are panelists, I have to make a decision based on your questions. Yeah, you may ask a question that I wouldn't, but the vast majority of questions asked in interviews today are horrible. What good is saving time, which is stated as a huge reason for panel interviews, more people can see the candidate, only to listen to bad questions of the candidate that wouldn't help a reasonable person, a knowledgeable person, a goal-directed person, help them make a decision? Look, there's also the chance we don't understand the rationale for another person's question. How do we evaluate the person's answer? Imagine that someone asked a question that you wouldn't have. You actually liked the answer. And the person who put the question to the candidate tells you later that that answer was the reason they eliminated the candidate. How is that perspective helpful? I mean, it's literally the old story. I tell this story so often because management is so unclearly defined in the world. I tell the story of the three blind guys touching the elephant. One's touching the tail and thinks it's a vine. One's touching the leg and thinks it's a tree. One's touching the trunk and thinks it's a snake. And they're all wrong. That's essentially a panel interview in a nutshell. Well, imagine the guy who's touching the trunk or touching the leg goes over to argue with the guy who's touching the trunk. It's a snake. Well, it can't be a snake. It's a tree. And now they're having an argument, and neither one of the things are right. It's a complete waste of time. More perspectives based on bad questions and surface responses create more ineffective and shallow perspectives. Panel interviews create the wrong kind of perspective. And I'll also tell you something else. I've heard so many stories of panel interviews that have turned on one moment. In other words, the candidate has, it's almost like a debate. And it's interesting, we call them candidates, where one line turns the debate. Everyone says afterwards, oh, I loved what he said or she said here or there. One line in one interview, as if that would be criteria or sufficient to decide I'm going to hire this person. And as you said earlier, Mike, spend the next 15 years of my professional life with them. You couldn't do it. Or worst case, when we teach candidates how to interview, we say this. We say, it's okay to make a mistake. It really is. There are very few interviewers who would say, any one mistake and you're done. The problem is, the candidate makes a mistake. They know they made a mistake. It could be forgetting the interviewer's name. It could be just stumbling through an answer. The reason mistakes are problematic is not that first mistake, but is the loss of focus on the next question, how the interview's going, and so on. And the candidate begins to spiral down thinking, I messed up, I messed up, I messed up. And if your head is telling you constantly, I messed up, I messed up, I messed up, it's not thinking what the next answer should be, and so on. It is the second and third and fourth mistake that are essentially begun by the first mistake that kills interviews. And what candidates say afterwards, well, I made this mistake and it was all over then. No, it wasn't. It was only all over 20 minutes later.
While you're saying, I was thinking about the effect of the panel interviewer on the interviewers, right? And their behavior. And I was thinking, you know, as soon as you put people in a group to do something, right? Then there's the whole thing of feedback and working as a team, et cetera, which is exactly what you don't want in the sense of, you know, we talked about the importance of questions. And if you've, you know, folks, if you listen to our other advice on interviewing, you'll know the absolute importance of probing, right? So you ask one. So typically I go into an interview, I use our interview creation tool. So I go in with about 10 questions and in 90 minutes, I never get to all 10, never. And it's often
never
that I get to one question. I ask one question and then I probe. Well, why'd you do that? Well, why'd you do that? Well, tell me about that, right? Yeah. And pretty soon, 90 minutes is over. If I'm on a panel interview, am I going to do that? Am I going to monopolize the time when there's two or three other people sitting in that panel interview? I won't. Never. Just because I'm a team player. And that would be a huge mistake.
Yeah, no, I've never heard of a head panelist saying, okay, you get to ask one question and dig through it if you want. Then somebody else gets to ask one question. That's not how it's done. It's free for all the entire time. Why? Because panel interviews scream inefficiency, lack of organization. The only thing that takes organization in panel interview is getting everybody together at the same time, which actually makes things harder logistically. And interviewing days are hard enough as it is. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what ends up happening is, to continue my example, a candidate makes a mistake and they make one mistake, which is completely okay, in front of six people. And all six people want to talk about the one mistake. And it's as if you made a mistake in front of a theater instead of in front of one person. And if one person, even the head panelist, says to a candidate, hey, it's okay, shake it off. But you see a bunch of sort of blank looks on five of the other people on the panel. It just makes it that much harder. And if we're going to hire only people who never make mistakes, we're going to hire overly prepared people. We're essentially going to say no to everybody because we're asking for something that can't be done. So panels give more perspective on less data. But it's not perspective that's effective because none of those people understand their decision process. They don't understand their responsibility. They haven't dug into the details to really understand whether or not the behaviors are there. We end up doing just a surface wash of the candidate, and then we seem surprised. And by the way, all in the name of efficiency.
I think we just killed this thing. I think we should stop right now. Yeah. But there are additional reasons why not.
There are some high C's out there that want more data to go create a case for their boss.
Okay, so let's talk about the high C's. Let's give them some data here. Let's talk about correlation. And no, and all the high C's are like, they're like ears are pure. Correlation? Data?
Okay. Yeah, exactly. We like that. We could have easily made this cast much shorter by just saying two key data points that we know from testing. Panel interviews do not increase the number of true positive hires. Now, let me just take a minute and talk about that, guys. When it comes to interviewing, I want you to think of a 2x2 matrix. A true hire or a true decision is one that accurately predicts how a person would have done. And then there's hires and non-hires. So we have four possibilities. A true hire, someone whom we offered, accepted, and turned out well. A true decline, where we didn't offer and we learned that they would have been wrong for us. A false positive, which is we say yes, but they turn out bad, which is hell on earth, and we never want that as long as we live. And then a false negative, which is bad, but not horrible. In other words, the person would have been good, but we said no to them. So a true positive is someone that we should have hired and that we did hire. Panel interviews do not increase them. Panel interviews do not help us identify the best candidates based on statistically significant testing, okay? In addition, panel interviews do increase the number of false positive hires. They create more situations where candidates are hired that shouldn't have been.
Yeah, the hell on earth quadrant.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if for no other reason than this, it increases the chances you're going to let somebody through that you shouldn't, and you're going to be stuck dealing with somebody that you want to fire within 6 months. And the general conclusion, according to people who know panel interviews, is that panels diminish the likelihood of that in-depth knowledge that helps panelists find out this person looks good on the surface, but they got issues underneath and we don't want to bring them on board. And when you find that in an individual interview, when you sense something and you get a chance to dig into it and you discover, wow, this person's underlying principles or whatever are not in line with us. If you do that yourself, you're willing to stand your ground when you have to discuss why or why not to hire somebody. But in a panel interview, there's so much slicing of thin layers off the top. There's no digging. There's no real deep analysis of the person.
Again, those who haven't seen or listened to our other guidance, if we've assigned a value for each of these outcomes, and the value of hiring, making a good hire, right? The positive hire, right? If the value of that were 10, the value of the wrong hire would be minus 100, right? It's not,
yeah,
it's minus not, it's 10 not times close, worse. Right? If you're 50-50, you'd do anything to avoid the,
yeah. But what most people think is I've got to hire. And so the value of a hire is 100. And the value of missing a hire that would have been good is minus 500. And so, unfortunately, because of confirmation bias, people start looking for reasons to hire. Guys, if I could tell you the single biggest psychological mistake in interviewing, and it's a future podcast, is confirmation bias. In other words, you're looking to hire. The moment you start looking to hire, the candidate will start giving you reasons to hire them. But that's not how you make good hiring decisions. Good hiring decisions are about eliminating wrong hires. If you're not looking for reasons to eliminate someone, you won't see them.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to talk about today because we could go on for another 3 hours just on that.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah, no, that's what everybody say. Don't start him. Don't get him going, Mike. Don't get him going. Yeah,
we've only been doing this for 11 years and now I'm saying don't get me started. That's fine.
Yeah, really. Okay. So we have one more reason.
Yeah. Candidates hate them. They hate them. Look, guys, panel interviews are more stressful for candidates. Panel interviews take candidates past that reasonable stress level that they understand exists because of interviewing. Look, candidates describe them as overbearing, as unpredictable, as unfair. Job candidates don't like being interviewed, but they will tell you they understand they have to be interviewed. And what they think is an interview is a one-on-one discussion. More interviewers at the same time stacks the decks against them. And if you're going to do that when hiring the right person is so hard, to choose efficiency rather than effectiveness while also knowing candidates hate them, you're ruining the chance that you're going to make a good hire, or even worse, that you're going to make a good decision, make a good offer. You're going to reduce the chances that your offer is accepted. Candidates say it feels like you're piling on. It basically says we're in charge and you're not. And one of the things we teach at our effective interviewing conference is the first conversation you have with somebody after you've run they've run the funnel of they're a potential candidate, we look at the resume, we like the resume, we do a phone screen, we teach you how to do a phone screen, we tell you what to look for, we bring a couple of candidates in for face-to-face interviews. The first thing you do the first morning, the morning they're there, is to sit down with them, and you don't interview them. Of course, you're evaluating them, but you don't conduct an interview, and you spend 15 to 30 minutes, and you say, look, here's your schedule for the day. Here's what's going to happen. Here are the people you're going to meet. Here are their titles. Don't worry about forgetting their names. We understand that stress. You know, there are four people in the morning and three in the afternoon. We're going to have lunch together. Here's the schedule. If at any time you get lost, there are three or four people here in this cubicle farm we're in that if you go up to them and say, I'm interviewing today and I'm lost, or I'm supposed to be at this person's not at their desk or whatever. We all know you're here and we're going to help you. Okay. I don't want today to be stressful around logistics or around something that's going to happen that you're not prepared for. We know that those things don't work. Okay. What we want to do is give you a fair chance to tell us about you. And our job is to figure out whether you are right for the opportunities we have here. And the reason why we do this first part of the day is candidates are amped up first part of the day. We already know they're at a level of stress that's probably a little bit from, they move from eustress into distress. To then throw them into a panel interview, particularly in the afternoon when they're tired, all you're doing is saying, we're just going to make it hard. In no way related to what your real life is going to be like on the job. Here's the worst part. Greater percentages of candidates who are made offers from companies who use panel interviews turn those offers down, all things being equal. Okay.
Okay.
Do I really want to be more efficient just so I can be told no? I don't think so.
So you're just saying that you'd voice a slight preference for no panel interviews. Is that what you're telling me?
A slight preference, and define slight, I guess. Guys, it's easy. The summary is don't do panel interviews. They don't work. They aren't well received. Candidates hate them. Whenever you're doing something really important, making any choice that substitutes efficiency for effectiveness is a bad idea. It's like, hey, somebody asked me what I really thought, so I told them. What do you know?
What do you know? All right, my friend. We'll see you later.
Thanks, partner.
Bye. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want, with easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions. It couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.